I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we're all back together again on a Hertz day on the WIP Afternoon Show.
It's not even close to a Hertz.
Well, whatever. Starts with a 2. It starts with a T, rather.
It does not start with a 2 either. Starts with a T.
I'm all messed up.
Would you calm down? Like, I know. We got Sirianni possibly talking.
Yes.
You're trying to navigate that. You're trying to navigate Hugh
He's
and I.
He's happy to see me.
I'm very happy to see Ike, who has returned.
He had to deal with you for 4 hours yesterday. You know how hard that was for him?
He had to deal with Buzz.
I had to deal with both of them. I had to deal with Wormed Up Jack, Philly's Wormed Up Jack, and Poopy Pants Buzz over there. So it's good to have you back, Ike.
What's up, Brother Spike?
I'm feeling good.
Listen, I got the memo.
Yep.
That I'm sort of elongating the opening here.
No,
I got the memo. I got it. Jackie, baseball, we're on a 4-game winning streak, and the freaking Fightins are back. Holla at your boy.
Second best record in baseball. They have the first in the National League East. I was told the season was over on April 24th.
You said it.
Never said it.
You said it.
I didn't say it.
You did.
No, I didn't.
I'm never going to get credit for this.
I didn't say it was over. I had questions. But everyone else doubted. Bunch of idiots.
I will say this.
Yeah.
Not to toot my own horn or pat myself on the back. But from the time I've gotten on train with both feet, team has been pretty good.
I know, but you were on the hot seat for the first 3 games. They lost 2 of 3. But they rebounded after that. You were on my hot seat.
So a bunch of stuff happened on the show today. Debate days continue. The first thing is Nick Sirianni signs his extension immediately late for his first press conference.
There you go.
So it was supposed to happen at 12:45.
Late for his first press conference.
It hasn't happened
yet. Big time,
yet.
Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, it's big time in everybody. Big time in the whole city of Philadelphia. So at any moment here, we will go live to Nick Sirianni talking about his contract extension. And apparently Jalen going to talk too and some other players.
He already talked.
Oh, Jalen already talked.
QB1?
Anything good? We'll get to it. We have our first official debate of debate days as Ike takes on Giglio, probably around 2:30, about Joel Embiid.
I'm excited about this.
Then we have Elliot here at 3 to just sort of do the greatest hits of Elliot, which will be great, his most debatable take. So it is a big show. But the other thing that happens in Eagles world, either today or tomorrow, is we find out the fate of the Tush Push. I believe they are taking the vote today, so we either find out today or tomorrow. Now, I will say this. I believe we are getting one more year of the Tush Push. I don't think they have the votes. I think we're getting a farewell, you know, season of the Tush Push. That said, I don't know what it is about this that pisses me off so much, but the NFL and Roger Goodell should be ashamed of themselves for trying to eliminate this play because one team happens to be good at it. They said it's about player safety. It is not. There's never been a player hurt during this thing. It's not about player safety. They say it's about pace of play or how it looks or all of those things. It doesn't look any worse than a regular quarterback sneak. Every reason they've ever given is hogwash. It hurts the Eagles, and it doesn't hurt any other team. It only hurts the Eagles. So it drives me crazy that the NFL is getting away with doing this. And the other thing that drives me crazy is everyone else saying, they'll be fine. They're just going to do a regular quarterback sneak and they'll be fine. This game and winning these games, they're games of inches. They're games about little advantages here and there. And this was a key advantage that the Eagles had that they might not have anymore. And it will hurt. I'm not saying it is the death knell of them winning the Super Bowl next year, but it will hurt their chances to win a Super Bowl if this play is eliminated. And it drives me crazy that we're not more mad about it.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right.
Sorry.
All right. I'm in here speaking of all the real leather neck football players. I mean, football guys.
Football guys.
Get my neck wrong! Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm here for all those guys. Listen, I understand it's a play that we've taken advantage of. I'm not faulting the Eagles for that. It's not something they were doing illegal right? It's a play that was well within the rules, even though it was a rule that was changed about 20 years ago. They were well within their right to use it. They've taken advantage of it. They've done it better than anyone else. It's a great play. It's a great asset for what we do here as an organization, as a football team. But I am one of those guys that says, this just ain't that big of a deal. It really isn't to me. And I understand the Eagles are trying to keep it. I get it. It may be a bigger deal to them than I perceive it to be. I'm just saying, as a fan of the team, I don't think our success hinges on the tush push. Yes, it's nice to have that in our back pocket, that we feel like it's an automatic play every time we run it. I get that. We get that sort of level of comfort and security. I understand that. But there's another source of comfort and security that I can withdraw from this team. And that's the fact that we put a premium on the offensive line. So we have one of the best offensive lines in football. You know, all of a sudden, because they may potentially ban the tush push.
Nick Sirianni speaks right now.
Yep.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, everyone knew you were going to be here pretty much, but what does it mean to you to get the extension and have that out of the way?
Yeah, just obviously very thankful to Mr. Lori for believing in me to hire me 4 years ago, and then to continue that I'm able to continue being the head football coach of this team. And just can't thank him and the organization and Howie enough for everything. And man, there's so many, you know, what a great owner we have. And I, like I said, I can't be more thankful. My family's thankful. I'm thankful. And I love being the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And, looking forward to continuing on.
How many years is multi-year?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the details of it, of any of that stuff. Sorry, I don't want to.
Is there a reason why?
No. I just won't get into the details of any of that. I know, but usually coaches' contracts are, you don't get those as much, right?
This is a business where people don't stick around a lot. You've been around long enough. How nice is it for you to know that you're going to have a family, be able to raise here?
Yeah, we love this city. I know how happy I am in being able to come into this office every day and work for, work for Mr. Lori and work alongside Howie and with all the great players we have. And my wife loves this city. My kids love this city. And we're sure glad that it will be our home for the foreseeable future.
Thank you. You've had a chance for 4 years you've spent here. What do you think you've learned most about being in this job?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, you're learning that can go on. That question I could answer that for a long time. You learn every single day. You're constantly trying to grow every single day. And I think the main things, and not that you learn it on this job, but the main things that anytime someone asks me about, what does it take to be successful or this and that, it feels like the common theme that I always come back to is you have to work your butt off. You have to work insanely hard, work harder and put in hours and put in time more than you ever thought you had to, and then you have to be able to embrace adversity. And I think, because adversity's it's coming. And so what I think you learn, not that I learned that on this job, but it's cemented even more and more every day I go through that. And so those are the keys in my mind.
What are your thoughts on everything that you've accomplished here so far and how far you personally have come from the first press conference to the growing of the roots to a 742 winning percentage after that comment to all the ups and downs? What are your thoughts on how much you have overcome here in this role?
Again, everybody that is striving to, you know, reach the top of the mountain or, you know, whatever it is, like we try to do every single year, adversity is going to be there regardless. And I really look at any adversity that I've ever been through in my life, you know, whether it was my leg injury in 2001, whether it was my dad going through cancer, whether it was the collapse of our season, you know, us kind of falling apart at the end of the 2023 season and finishing 1-6, every one of those things, whether it's scrutiny from, like you said, from your first press conference, I can look at the good in all those things and find good in all those things and how it's shaped me to be who I am today and has made me better as a result of it. And you never want to go through those things as you go through them. But man, if you allow it to shape you, it really does. It can shape you into be better and to be who you are at this moment. So, you know, I would say for all the things that I've been through, whether it's on this job or whether it's in my life, I've been able to, get better from all those things. And I'm grateful. As crazy as that sounds, as bad as it is, when you go through those things, I can look back at it and be grateful. And you hope that the next adversities you go through, you remember, hey, there's, you're going to be grateful from this one as well. So, hope I answered your question.
Someone who followed that, you've been at your best, it seems, when there's pressure, tension, lack of a better term there. Now that you won the Super Bowl, you have this security, how do you manufacture that tension, discomfort, whatever term you would use there?
Yeah, you know, I feel fortunate that I'm around a lot of guys like our coaches, our other coaches, our players on this team that, you know, we have this will to win. Right. Someone put it this way. I've talked to a lot of coaches this offseason trying to get better at my craft. And somebody put it this way. You don't win a pickup basketball game and say, all right, I'm satisfied. I'm going home. Right. You say, hey, how do we run it back? And we're not even thinking about running. We're thinking about where we are today and trying to get better. But you strap up and you play again. Yeah, I think there's always pressure in this profession, and you know, and looking forward to, you know, the next year and building this team. Everything else is in the past, like you know, everything else that goes in. I think that when teams are trying so hard to repeat or trying so hard to recapture, like there's two mistakes that they make, right? They either are looking at their past accomplishments or they're looking too far into the future of how do you do that again. And it's really about the daily grind that you go through day in and day out. And there's a mental toughness to being able to do that and go through that every single day. And so, you know, I want to do my job just to do what's best for this football team and you know, make Mr. Lori proud that he made the right decision and help these players continue to get better. And every challenge, there's a new challenge with every team of building the team. That's what's so cool about a season that you start again and you're right back to the beginning and going through the same steps that you went through in the beginning. When you're self-motivated, like, and it may appear that I might be my best that when, you know, I have scrutiny or when I, you know, as opposed to the other side, but when you're self-motivated, the outside noise shouldn't affect you and doesn't affect you. You put your head down and you work to get better.
The push vote coming tomorrow, or are you still actively lobbying and calling around to get some support? And or do you feel like the deck is stacked against you guys?
We'll see. You know, we'll see where that goes. We're not waiting for very long to figure it out. It's gonna be, you know, public tomorrow. And you know how I feel about it. I think the we obviously were at the owners' meetings. We talked about how we felt about it, and I don't think anyone could question what my sentiment is on it. So we'll see. We'll see where what happens with it tomorrow.
Speaking of running it back again, Jalen is going to have the new offensive coordinator, a play caller again, for now. There's so many times in his career. How do you think he's going to handle that?
Yeah, the same way he's handled it every year. I think he's a guy that just is going to, again, same thing, start right from the beginning again, working out like crazy again, getting ready again in the classroom, getting ready on the field. And I don't notice any difference whether it was Kellen being the coordinator, Brian, Shane, or Kevin. And, I see the same process that he goes through, which is what makes Jalen special, is that he goes through the same process over and over and over again. The minute details and the just the same over and over and over again. You just see him go through it and try to get better from new experiences, new voices. I think Kevin's done a great job. I really have been impressed with how hungry Kevin is for this opportunity and all the good new ideas that he's bringing. Even though Kevin's been here for with me for 8 years, there's still things that when you're in charge. That I'm like, hey, now let's do this. Let's give this an opportunity. So, I'm really excited about where we are there. And I don't see any change in Jalen and anything that he does and how he preps, regardless who the coordinator is.
What have you learned about the fostering of the cultivation of those ideas? Because you have had to change coordinators a lot, and that's the mark of a consistent head coach. What have you learned that works in that regard?
Yeah. Again, you always want to do the things that your players do best. And so there's figuring out who the players are. Now Kevin's obviously been here through the 4 years. He has a very good feel of what they do and what they do well. And so you always want to do what they do best. You always want to keep things in that you've done well that you want to continue to grow and dress up a little bit, and then also some new wrinkles that kind of mesh to that, and then you have some things that it might be brand new. But that's the beauty of the off season. You go through your process and you decide, hey, here's what's primary, here's what's secondary, here's what's out, here's what's new, and then you start repping it, and it kind of evolves as you go.
Nick, this is your second time coming off playing in the Super Bowl. Obviously, the result different this time. But what did you learn about how playing in the Super Bowl in 2022 impacted 2023? And are there any changes you're making for this upcoming season based off that?
Yeah, there's always a fine line, I think, of managing, guys and as far as their bodies go, and then daily improvement, right? And so there is no secret. Like we talked, someone asked me earlier, and I said, there is no secret. You have to be able to overcome adversity and you have to work hard. And so there is a fine line between that though, right? Of the grind that you put in because coming off of a long season, and having the guys ready to play each Sunday, and getting better, right? If you lean too far one way and say, all right, it's just important that we get to Sunday with ourselves as fresh as we can possibly be, then maybe you miss out on some opportunities to grow your fundamentals and your situational football and all the different things that takes there. And if you lean too far the other way, you run them into the ground. So there's a fine line there. It's not a and I don't think there's a handbook that says this is how long. You got to have a feel for the players. You have to be in constant communication with your players of how they're feeling. You got to know what players to say, hey, how are you feeling? And know who's trying to maybe get a couple reps off and who's really telling you the truth. You got to do the same thing with the doctors and the training staff. And the strength coaches. And the good thing is here, I got a lot of players that I can lean on and trust there. I got a lot of guys there with Nando and Tom and Arsh that, give me their best advice as well. And then it's my job to listen to all parties and do what I think's best for the football team while having all that information. And so, there is a fine line, but I know there's no substitute for hard work and getting better. But then again, you gotta think about the length of the season and you know where you are at that particular point, because 1 week might be a little bit harder than another week, and you know all those things are balanced out and thought about each and every week.
You said you've spoken to a lot of coaches. Who have you spoken to, and who gave that pickup basketball analogy?
I can't remember who gave the pickup basketball analogy, but I've talked to a bunch of different guys. I mean, I don't mind sharing that with you. I always talk to Coach Karras. I always talk to Coach Wright. I was fortunate to speak with Coach Saban this year. Coach Gino at UConn. Coach Staley at South Carolina. So there's just been a lot of good insight that I've been able to pick up from them. And again, you gotta continue to try to grow at all times. So just been thankful for them for them talking to me and passing on knowledge of questions that I have.
You guys talk about more, folks. Turn the page from we won the Super Bowl to okay, now we gotta look ahead to next year.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Yeah, at what point during the offseason were you able to turn the page from we won the Super Bowl to okay, let's look ahead to next year?
I know this sounds crazy, but right away. Of course I enjoyed the parade, and of course I enjoyed the flight back home, but you know, and Kellen got the job, and then you're right back into filling coaching spots. So there's all your calendar is always completely full, and you're just constantly trying to get better at what you did the year before. Like how do you hire coaches better, and then go through that process, and then it's into the draft and free agency, and then it's into players phase one, and then so yeah, you got to turn the page. You can enjoy it, but you can enjoy it for a little bit, but you got to turn the page, and you got to turn the page quickly, because we'll have a high standard for ourselves. I know you all will have a high standard for us, but we know how high our standard is for ourselves, and it takes steps, and that's mental toughness. And I think I talked about this with the players today. I think sometimes when I talk, I tend to talk to them a lot about mental toughness, and I talk to them about overcoming adversity, and that's a big part of mental toughness. But another part of this mental toughness thing is going through the same monotonous things over and over and over again, and having the same attitude and effort no matter what the circumstances are. Right? Oh man, we just went through this draft process. Well, let's do it again. And so there's a mental toughness to doing the same things and the same steps over and over again. I'd like to also say, you know, just I couldn't tell you how many players, and coaches have come up to me and just say congratulations. And it felt like my response was, you know, again, I got a chance to thank Mr. Lori and in my opening, what I said up right away. But it felt like with every player that I talked to, you know, the main thing that was coming out of my mouth was, well, I'm not in this situation without great players, and I'm not in this situation where I'm able to sign a new contract without great coaches, and I'm not in this situation to be here without, you know, Howie. So it truly is, you can't be great without the greatness of others. And whether it was Jalen coming up to me, I said the same thing to all the guys, Jalen, Dallas, Clint Hurt, Vic, you know, Howie. And so again, it just shows you how awesome a team sport like football is. It takes everybody, and sure, I'm grateful for Mr. Lori and all the players and all the coaches here that have put me in this position to be able to do this.
From that we got professional standpoint,
last one,
adversity and all that, but on a personal level, Is there any validation, Super Bowl extension, just when you're by yourself,
you can either go at it and be like, look at me now. But I don't think that I'm grateful for all those scrutiny. I'm grateful for that for multiple reasons, right? I'm grateful in the sense that it shapes you to who you are going to be, right? God puts you through things, and it shapes you to who he wants you to be. And then also, through scrutiny and through different things like that, and adversities that you face, I'm going to be able to raise my kids, and they're going to be going through things, and I'm going to be able to look back at things. And there's another reason I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that in the sense as well of, players that are going to have to go through that, cause no one's exempt from adversity that you go through, in the challenges of the NFL. So I don't think you can have a grateful heart for the things that you've went through to shape you to who you are, and then on the other end go, oh, look, what are you saying? You know what I'm saying? And so that gratefulness of the scrutiny and of the adversity and all those things that you said, it's not validating. It's a grateful heart more so than the validation of a contract or a Super Bowl.
All right. Thanks, folks. We got to get out of here.
There it is. They got to get out of there. That is Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. Boy, his press conferences are even better than they used to be. Feels like Nick knows exactly what he wants to say every time somebody asks him a question. Didn't always seem that way.
Yeah, good job by coach. Pockets are fat. They say his pockets got the mumps right now. That's what they say.
Nick's got to buy us dinner. Come on, man. He said he's appreciative of the criticism. Well, then you owe us dinner, buddy. All right. Debate days.
It's paid off.
Yes. Debate days officially kick off next.
Ooh, okay.
And we'll get to Tush Push later because Ike's being crazy about that. But coming up next, Ike versus Joe Giglio.
Some may say I'm being crazy about this.
Yes, but you're being right about it.
I'm
not going to say what I think, but Ike versus Giglio next on should they trade Joel Embiid. Ike versus Giglio next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. That's not very debatey music, but it's such a good tune. What can I do?
Well, Giglio's got a big mountain to climb here.
He sure does. Mount Ike over there. So debate days kicking off officially on the WIP Afternoon Show right now.
Debate days.
In one corner, we have six-time champion Ike Reese. In the other corner, we have that twerp from the midday show, Joe Giglio. Hot take artist, loves clicks. All right.
Do I get clicks off of this?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Right.
We get clicks off
okay.
of it. So the debate I have for you is, should the Philadelphia 76ers trade Joel Embiid? Now, before we get into it, I just want to set the parameters here so we don't get into the minutiae of it. The trade is essentially for nothing.
Right.
The Sixers aren't getting anything back. They're not giving up anything. They are trading Joel Embiid for nothing.
On a blank slate.
Blank slate.
Yeah.
I will start.
Which hurts your argument even more.
Yeah. Whoa. He's starting now.
I want you to know that if you don't have anything of substance to add to trading away, arguably a Mount Rushmore player in Sixers history, I don't know what you bring to the table today.
Ike has graciously given Joe Giglio the ability to give his opening statement first, even though he just started anyway. Joe Giglio. It's on you.
A lot of times when we do these debates, it's an uphill climb for me. I'm always on the side that people don't want.
Yeah.
People don't want Joel Embiid here anymore. Maybe you guys do. This is over. What are we doing? If I can get out of the Joel Embiid business right now, I'm out. He's owed $59 million, $64 million, and $69 million the next 3 years. He can't play at that level anymore. We're dealing with a player that has a degenerative knee, maybe arthritis. And guys, look, I know I'm not getting anything back because that's the parameters. I don't want anything back. What I want is a clean slate for the Sixers. And all I need to do is turn on the Eastern Conference Finals tomorrow, Western Conference Finals tonight as proof. 20 players will start these games. 20 players, 10 on each side. Do you know how many players are over the age of 30 in the Western and Eastern Conference Finals that will play big minutes? One. There's one player in the conference finals that will start, that will play big minutes, that is over the age of 30. This is a young man's game. You guys, just because you do Blue Chew reads doesn't mean you have to act like you're old. The league is trending young. It is a young league now. Joel Embiid is an old player by his body, and he's just not there anymore where he used to be. I wish we could have got something back. Instead, this is going to be like Patrick Ewing going to the Sonics, Hakeem Olajuwon going to the Raptors. It's a sad ending, but I gotta get out of the Embiid business now, White Reese. It's over.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We don't even remember Patrick Ewing in a damn Sonics uniform or Olajuwon
in a Raptors
uniform.
That's how bad it was,
uniform.
And that's going to be Embiid in whatever uniform he goes to.
All right, hush.
Like Jerry Rice in a damn Seattle Seahawks uniform.
Raiders and all that.
So let me just say this. Here's where your argument sort of loses a little steam. Because you don't have something of significance to entice me to move off of one of the greatest players in franchise history. I understand where Joel Embiid is right now. I understand that it's been disappointing trying to build a team centrally around him and expecting him to sort of lead us. But here's where I will caution you and the rest of Sixers Nation out there that believe in his team. You still have what amounts to, albeit on a smaller scale, because you're not getting it for 60 or 70 games, but if I can get it for 45 games, maybe 50, plus the playoffs, you still have what amounts to a unicorn in the National Basketball Association. That's a 7'2", 280-pound, arguably the most skillful big man since Hakeem Olajuwon to touch an NBA hardwood court. That's what you have at your disposal. So, unless I'm getting something of significance that entices me to move off of him, here's where I'm sitting at right now as a Sixers team. I have a couple assets. Depending on who you are, you can view them as being valuable, but you have the ability to maneuver some other pieces to add to Joel Embiid. If I don't even do that, I still have Maxey, Jared McCain, the number 3 overall pick, a couple of young players that we discovered late in the season this year, and I'm adding Joel Embiid to that. Think about that. I got good young pieces that I already like, and I'm adding a guy who is a walking 30-point getter. If he plays 28 minutes, he's giving you 30 points that night. You know how hard that is to come by in this league? 30 points a night at 7'2", unstoppable, great free throw shooter. And if I can lessen the burden on how much I need him during the regular season, I still have him to throw out there in the postseason. And in the Eastern Conference, there's no one to guard him. There's nothing you can do. Every team in the Eastern Conference has to hope Embiid is injured to some degree. Either he's completely out or he's compromised because you have no answer for him in any other form or fashion. And I'm adding that with the 3rd overall pick, Tyrese Maxey, Jared McCain, right? Like, these are other guys I'm adding to Joel Embiid. And that's why I don't trade Joel Embiid, because I have the ability to almost – do two things here, which is try to win in the now as well as trying to prepare for the future. That's where I'm at.
All right. That's wonderful. But you know what this is? This is just the next if in the Joel Embiid career. If he's healthy, if you say no one can stop him in the East, he's always been worse in the playoffs. His whole career in the Eastern Conference. Who's the best player he's ever outplayed in a playoff series? Pascal Siakam? I mean, I'm going to expect him at an older age to give you what you want. And let me play along with your idea, because I actually see your logic, right?
Okay.
Keep him around with the young guys.
Yep.
Are we sure, because I'm not, that Joel Embiid will accept a role where he's not the ball-dominant player? Because I don't want to hurt and stunt the growth of Maxie kind of has become what he is. But yeah. I think Jerry McCain has huge upside, so we have that. And then whatever they take with the number three pick, if you tell me that Embiid is going to play the Bill Walton role back with the Celtics in the 80s, he's going to come off the bench or play 20 minutes or 15 minutes, all right, I mean, I get your point, right? He could still maybe in a small sample channel it and be great. I don't know. I've never seen the Sixers since he got here not defer to Joel Embiid, and I don't want to watch him try to jog up and down the court, can't move, still be the ball-dominant guy, and then I'm sitting here in 2 years and saying, I don't even know what McCain is. He doesn't get to shoot more than four times a game. If he's here, he can't be the guy, but I've never not seen him be the guy.
That's fair. That's fair. And a lot of this obviously would have to hinge upon Joel accepting this sort of a role. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he has to be a backseat on the team, and we know he's still the franchise guy, but the idea that everything centers around him and everybody has to play off of him, I kind of agree with
those
that.
Those days are over.
I kind of agree with that. But here's the thing I would ask you, Joe. Here's the thing I would ask you. If I'm getting 45 games out of him and I'm getting Joel Embiid, why wouldn't I want him to have the ball?
Well,
he is still the best. When he is Joel Embiid, he is still one of the five best players in the NBA.
But I don't know if that Embiid's ever coming back. I mean, we saw what happened this year.
It's a matter of really how often can you get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, that was 2 years ago. I was concerned how often we got it. Now I'm not even sure when he plays what he's going to be anymore. It's unfortunate because he was a great player. I just want to rip the Band-Aid off. I'm so tired of the Joel Embiid era. I'm tired. Not that he wasn't great. He's a Hall of Fame player, won the MVP, all that.
Don't let the fatigue.
No, I'm fatigued. I had a debate with Jolly earlier. Yeah. I am fatigued in every way. I'm fatigued. No, I'm just done. I want to move on. I want to hand it over to the young guys.
That's the problem I think a lot of fans have.
Yes. We want to rip the Band-Aid off.
I'm not saying that I don't understand that. I understand that. I do. Here's what I'm saying. Ultimately, I'm not giving Joel Embiid away for nothing. That's what I'm ultimately saying. I'm not saying we need to build the team around Joel Embiid and make him the focus of everything. What I'm saying is he's an asset that I've already committed to. He's already under contract.
But he's also exhausting for the team. I think his presence has become exhausting. When is he going to play? When is he not play? The injury stuff. What does he want out there? He's exhausting. And when he was one of the three or four best players, it was worth it, right? Even if he was like, I don't know if he's healthy or not, he was so great, we put up with it. Now, if he comes back and
he's telling me if you get Joel Embiid, and I'm going to keep throwing out the 45 games in the regular season.
When's the last time you played 45?
Three years ago?
I don't even know if we're getting that anymore.
That's what I'm looking at. Mm. And then I'm looking at a full playoff run.
I have to keep myself out of this, by the way.
If you're telling me I'm getting Joel Embiid there and I'm getting a healthy Joel Embiid in the playoffs, dude, he rolls out of the bed. We used to say Jahlil Okafor, he 20 and 10.
Well, no one said that.
That was a fantasy.
Yeah, that was make-believe.
This dude literally can give you 20 and 10 rolling out of the bed.
But can he get out of the bed anymore? I don't know. I want out.
I want out
of the Embiid business. I want a fresh start with the Sixers. And as long as he's here, it's still the old Sixers. I'm done. Out!
Now, I think there's still enough talent in there. You're talking about a guy, 27 points a game, easily. Double-digit rebounds a game, easily. Almost unguardable when he's available and being out there on the court. Last year, he was scoring over a point a minute. The year before Kuminga dove on his damn knees out there at Golden State. Like, the guy was scoring a point a minute out there on the court. Almost unheard of in NBA history. And again, I'm looking at you're talking about Bill Walton. Bill Walton, on his best days when he had two good, healthy feet, never looked like Joel Embiid. Never in his life looked like Joel Embiid. Bill Walton did.
I just can't have a $64 million role player. I can't do it. It's over. I just think we got to move on from Joel Embiid. It's over.
Wow, look, Joe Giglio trying to be voice of the people. While
how's that going?
Ike Reese trying to be the smart one.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. What happened here?
Yeah, what is going on? All right, we'll wrap this up in a second.
Hold on.
What?
Aren't I usually both, though? No.
Well, yes, you're usually both. But you're not usually, like, it's not usually Giglio being, like, you know.
Yeah, he's a hater.
Yeah, he is
hater. I'm trying to help the Sixers.
He's a hater.
You guys are just Embiid fans.
We were.
Yes!
No, yeah, but the Sixers.
Like, that's a bad thing.
Well, the Sixers are more important. It's the name on the front, not the name on the back.
Hold on.
You should know that.
We will get to this in a second. Okay. All right. We will decide who won that in a second. But when you go to Colonial Hyundai right now, you're going to win. That's right. This weekend, Memorial Day weekend, I want you to, well, don't forget the beach. But if you're going to go to the beach, you're going to have your barbecue out back. I want you to make time for Colonial. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Monday. They've got a choice between two great things. One, get 20% off any new Hyundai in stock. You want a new Palisade, an Ioniq, an Elantra, whatever it is, 20% off. That's up to 10 grand that the cars are going to give you back. Or you get $6,500 for your trade no matter what condition it's in. And I'm telling you, you could do it. I don't care if it's got two wheels on it. Cars are going to take you, give you $6,500. The Memorial Day weekend sales event at Colonial, 20% off any new Hyundai in stock, or $6,500 for your trade no matter what condition it's in. And this is on top of that, you're going to get rates as low as 0% financing. Online 24/7, ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. You know, I thought you both did a very respectful job. Mm. This was the most respectful debate we've probably had on the WIP.
I'm looking at a guy that finished in the top two.
You're living in
three,
the past.
MVP the last 4 to 5 years. You're talking about 27, almost 28 points a game, 11 rebounds per game, 80% free throws. We kill to see these type of numbers from any player.
And maybe we will one day again.
We haven't seen these type of numbers from anybody but this dude. Mm-hmm.
Jack, I would like you to put up a Twitter poll. Just put who won the debate about Joel Embiid. Ike Reese or Joe Giglio?
95 Ike. It doesn't even matter what was said.
Well,
the Twitter question brought to you by Mark.
You feel better than I do.
Well, the Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Joe, here's why I agree with Ike. And you can say Joel fan all you want. Is that if you want to rebuild, you can rebuild next year. Like, we've had, I know you said the most recent thing we've seen of Joel Embiid is last year. Mm-hmm. But if we take the last 4 years, it didn't look like last year. You know, you have runner-up MVP, MVP. Then last year, 2 years ago, if he doesn't get hurt, he's probably
he's definitely
the MVP
in the top three
again.
MVP candidate, yeah.
And, like, all I want to do is just see. And if it's there again, I don't see any bonus to just moving off aside from the moment where we just all feel better about it. We'd all feel better for a month. And then we'd realize that we're trying to build a championship with friggin' Ace Bailey and Tyrese Maxey and Jared McCain and a Clippers pick in 3 years. Like, I don't see a path right now. And it's going to be worse than you think. So if you want to rebuild, rebuild next year. Just don't rebuild this year because you're tired of it. And last thing, Morey is paid to like when everybody else is exhausted to maybe let it go a little bit longer. Everybody was exhausted with the James Harden saga. Just trade him. And he waited an extra little bit longer and he got an extra pick from the Clippers. The same with the Ben Simmons thing. It's just get rid of him wherever he wants to go.
No, he waited.
But
he
waited.
James Harden.
He got Harden, all that kind of stuff. I just think when we're tired, the people who run the teams get paid not to be tired.
I agree with that. But can I make the point we were already past the expiration point? This should have been done 2 years ago, a year ago.
But it wasn't.
I know. So, but now we're doubling down for hope. There's no logic to there's no logic to Joel Embiid in his mid-30s being a championship player. He wasn't in his mid-21.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
What?
First of all, he's not in his mid-30s. He's 30.
But he will be soon. He's 30. Okay. He's 31.
Well, here's my thing.
This contract runs out. He's 34. Close to mid-30s.
If I don't need him as, pun intended, my centerpiece, and he's sort of an accent piece, and a very good accent piece, by the way.
We hope.
What if
he's cooked?
What if he is? What if he's not? What if he's not?
If you're telling me health-wise, we don't have that yet. Like, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not saying he's coming back being Joel Embiid from 3 years ago, but if he's healthier than he was this past year, and if they could find this sort of program where they could limit his minutes and games till you get to the ultimate point, which is postseason play, then isn't that what we ultimately care about?
I just,
like, we're done with the regular season stuff.
Sure.
So to me, as long as he's at his best, late in the season, and we can use him in the postseason run. Like, Joel Embiid is still a force to be reckoned with.
I understand the point on, you know, the Harden thing and Morey and knowing. It bothers me that we might not get to see the best of Maxey and McCain in this third pick if he's still here. Like, you brought up Harden. Harden was suppressed because he was with two other great players. He didn't become James Harden until he got to Houston. How do we know we're not going to suppress McCain and Maxey in this third pick if Joel Embiid's getting the ball as much as he used to?
Do you really think you don't know what Tyrese Maxey is at this point?
Well, no, forget Maxey for a second. Okay. How about McCain? McCain showed a lot.
Okay.
I mean, but if we're dumping the ball to Embiid 30 times a game down in the down,
well,
we're
in your
the ball,
world, he's only playing 20 games, so we'll get to see plenty of Jared McCain.
But maybe he plays more in your world.
Like, look,
this whole premise started with he
45
has,
games.
I know. The whole premise started with he has no trade value. Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know?
Yes, is that
he's
rather keep him than trade him for
to
nothing.
Us than
no,
he is anywhere
we
else.
We need a fresh start.
Oh,
you guys are living in the past.
Need a fresh start with this show. With you out of here.
That's fine.
There he is.
You do, actually. It's break time.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Joe Giglio. Appreciate you sticking
good job,
around.
Brother.
Good debate.
That was fun.
That was good debate. That was a little too respectful. We're going to need it to get nastier tomorrow.
Mike doesn't know
with
what
Jolly.
He's talking about. I'm going to
yeah,
leave.
Okay, there you go. All right. Speaking of guys that don't know what they're talking about, Elliot Shore Parks joins us next. Elliot will be here.
That's pretty good.
Well, he's going to get here from. He'll be close.
Oh, yeah.
Right
he'll be close. He's going
to
be tight.
Be here.
Yeah, you know he's stressing right
knowing
now.
Knowing him, he'll be here.
Yeah, for the Elliot, if you're not here. Look, I don't want you to speed, but if you're not here.
We're going
to
take that little trophy of yours.
Yeah, Elliot was down there at the NovaCare facility. So we'll get Elliot's thoughts on what he heard from Nick Sirianni. Also, what he heard from Jalen Hurts. Also, a little tush-push talk and. In honor of debate days, we will go through some of Elliot's greatest hits on his opinions that have made people the maddest. That is coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.